The Homeland Security Department has received a clean financial audit for the first time in the agency's history. Its 2013 books were audited by KPMG, and Senator Tom Carper calls this achievement a milestone. But auditors identified a list of 8 material weaknesses in DHS accounting. For some clarity, we turn to Steve Sebastian. He's the Managing Director for Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the Government Accountability Office. He says the bottom line is an agency can provide a list of financial statements that will pass audit scrutiny.
Meaning they're able to provide the sufficient evidence to the auditors that the transactions and balances that are recorded and summarized on the financial statements are consistent with generally accepted accounting principles. The bigger issue here is how you ultimately get to that end goal. In a clean environment, clean internal control environment, where you don't have material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, the process of preparing those financial statements that would pass audit muster is fairly routine and relatively inexpensive. To the extent that you have material weaknesses in internal controls that impact your ability to report financial information accurately, it results in agencies pouring more resources in to the audit process to provide sufficient evidence for the auditor to gain the assurances they need to render an unmodified opinion.
So to make an analogy, it's the difference between a taxpayer who's got all of their ducks lined up when it comes time to file and all they do is push the button versus running around in a fire drill trying to sort out what's in all those shoeboxes.
Exactly. And, DHS, it's taken years to reach the point where they have received the first unmodified opinion. And so I think it would be unfair to say that there hasn't been progress made. I think in each one of the areas where material weaknesses were cited, there has been progress. But it has cost the agency additional resources to provide the supporting evidence that the auditor needs ultimately to get comfortable with those balances and transactions that are appearing on the year-end financial statements. The other issue, quite frankly, is that while those financial statements then are fairly presented, meaning they're consistent with generally accepted accounting principles, there are questions as to the agency's ability to produce that information on a routine basis to support decision-making.
So when you look at what the auditors identified as significant deficiencies, are they really talking about the process of getting to that audit as opposed to the end result?
Actually both. And again, I have not read the KPMG report, but just the list of material weaknesses that were cited, financial reporting, you're really getting at the heart of the processes, procedures, and systems they have in place to routinely produce and record transactions to result in the summarization of that data and the compilation of the financial statements.
And I think Tom's analogy with the individual tax return and somebody who's a very organized person who prepares and somebody who does it at the last minute is a good one. But in that case, you could say that the result is basically the same if they both have all the accurate information on that return at the end of the day. Is the same true when agencies are preparing these massive audits?
I think there's a key difference here because, again, while you have the end result is a set of financial statements that have passed audit muster, the bigger issue, quite frankly, is the agency's ability to produce information on a daily, monthly basis that is accurate, complete, and reliable to support decision-making. And the process through which an agency may produce the financial statements in an environment where you have material weaknesses would not necessarily result in their ability to produce that information on a routine and timely basis.
So, in other words, all the transactions could be accounted for at the end of the year, but they might not be the best ones throughout the year because they don't have good decision support.
That is correct. I mean, let's take, for example, the balance sheet. The balance sheet represents a snapshot of your cash, your accounts payable, your property and equipment at a particular point in time. So what the audit opinion at September 30 says is, at that particular point in time, I've been able to accurately account or reliably account for those activities that feed into these balances. If you ask me a month from now what my balance of property and equipment or payables is, I may not be able to give you a definitive or reliable answer.
And then there's also another material weakness listed here called budgetary accounting. That, as a term, how does that differ from financial reporting?
Well, and actually the financial statements within the federal environment include budgetary reporting. There's a statement of budgetary resources, and that essentially accounts for the resources that have been received, i.e. appropriations, other fees, and how those funds are actually used. You know, what amount has been obligated for future expenditure, what has actually been outlaid. So, you know, the term budgetary accounting is pretty broad, but it's essentially accounting for all of the budgetary resources that have been provided to that entity.
We're speaking with Steve Sebastian. He's Managing Director for Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the Government Accountability Office. And so taking all this into account, is a clean audit really the best way to tell if an agency has its finances in line and at least is in a way that can be transparent and followed?
I think it's a step forward. It's not really the bottom line, the end goal. I think you really have to look at the auditor's report on internal control to get a better measure of the agency's ability to routinely and accurately account for the taxpayer funds that have been provided to it.
Because they also list information technology controls and financial system functionality. And that would seem that if that's a material weakness, it's going to be hard to generate everything else, such as good reports on a daily or weekly basis.
Well, exactly. Now that term is actually fairly broad and can comprise a couple of issues. The first would actually be the security over the information being recorded and processed through the systems. The other issue is the ability of the systems themselves to accurately record and summarize that information to culminate in financial reports and financial statements that are accurate. And in a number of instances, particularly early on with some of the executive agencies, their systems were not able to produce that information, which resulted in a lot of manual workarounds and compensating procedures to ultimately produce a set of reliable financial statements.
And when you look at some of the significant deficiencies that are called material weaknesses in this case, in DHS's case, for example, financial reporting, the fix, I imagine, is very complicated and takes a long time and perhaps takes a lot of money if you need to replace technology. How easy is it for a department like DHS to take this as a to-do list?
I think very easy. And in fact, to their credit, all of these issues are on DHS's current action plan. DHS, unlike most other agencies, does have a legal requirement to get an opinion on its internal control, and it has yet to be able to do so. But this, in essence, becomes the to-do list for them. And as they work to resolve these issues, they might ultimately get to that point where an auditor can come in and believe that the internal controls over financial reporting are, in fact, reliable.
And not to turn this into an accounting lesson, but
right.
These are curious words. Other significant deficiencies identified by KPMG, one of those is entity-level controls. So does that mean that at the component or bureau or even office level, there are issues with the ability to track the money?
The entity-level controls are really sort of higher-level controls. It's really the tone at the top, the establishment of sound policies and procedures, and ensuring adequate training of your staff to be able to routinely produce reliable and accurate information.
And how about custodial revenue and drawback?
Yeah, this is a term that's to some extent unique to DHS, although there are other entities that have what is termed custodial activity. These entities, as part of their mission, have the ability to charge fees or collect, you know, fees and duties. The IRS would be another example, their tax collection process. They collect these fees and monies on behalf of the federal government. They do not retain them for their own use. They're essentially sent into the general fund of the U.S. Treasury and are used to support other operations and activities of the federal government.
And, Steve, when you look at this list of material weaknesses or deficiencies at DHS, but really throughout the government, when you're talking about agencies that are able to get clean audits, what are still the most frequent deficiencies that you can find there?
It's really going to vary by agency. I would say that some of the more common issues would have to do with information systems controls, particularly information system security. That actually is a government-wide high-risk issue, And there are a number of agencies, if they don't have material weaknesses with respect to information system controls, they would have significant deficiencies. That would be the most common. And I think the other would be the financial reporting process. There are still agencies out there that are relying on somewhat cumbersome manual compensating processes to produce their financial information.
And all of this, does it roll up ultimately to the CFO? And my secondary question is, what's the relationship between the accounting function and the chief financial officer function?
Well, I mean, the chief financial officer ultimately is responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements. So yes, the CFO ultimately is responsible for the reliability, not only of the financial statements that are produced, but all of the financial information that is used by the agency.